All right, everybody get muted here. It's Alt A to mute. Welcome everybody to the book launch for October 2025 with John W. Cronin. I'm your host and facilitator, Annie Chapetta. This is the book launch for October 9th, 2025. John's book that we're going to be discussing tonight is called The Three Women Who Changed My Life. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, whoever that is, could you please mute yourself? Because we're hearing somebody type. Okay. I'm going to start again. So tonight we're here with John W. Cronin, whose recent book, The Three Women Who Changed My Life, was just recently published. And we're going to talk about John's book. I'm going to say a little bit about John before we get started. John Cronin's idyllic early life on a farm in Ontario, Canada, was forever altered when the polio he contracted at age four left him a paraplegic. Then, when he was studying at the University of Waterloo, retinitis pigmentosa blinded him. Deeply depressed, he began to pursue a life of travel, always searching for the elusive goals of fulfillment and happiness. From his childhood to the present day, John invites us to ride along with him. From the lowest depths to the loftiest heights. This book is his moving tribute to his wife, Jillian, his mother, and his sister, the three women who changed his life. All right, John. How you doing today?
Good.
All right.
And I'm
So
glad to be here with everybody.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, and what it's like for you now before we move into some of our questions.
I don't know. You'll see better. Like, I've got a story coming out, The Battle with Technology. And you'll see how, my life has slowly been constricted to the point where basically I'm confined to the house and my bedroom, but the computer has freed me. My writing has freed me. It gives me the window to the world. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's just like my whole life, I just lost things. Like I could lose the ability to walk, so you compensate and you function. You lose the ability to see, you compensate and function. The problem was, I guess, when I lost my eyesight and that, things became tougher and that. But I decided I had a I in 2002 I got the computer, and what it did is, like I say, it freed me. It made me able to do what I couldn't do before. I could listen to music now. Before I had CDs, but how do I decide them? I couldn't send an email. I could now write a letter and send it. I can't say how much of it it did, what the computer did for my life. It freed me. And that's because of that, that's how I got to write my story.
Wonderful. You know, John, when I was reading your book, I was very struck, very deeply struck by the times where you talked about your isolation and your feelings of, losing control of your life. Would you like to talk about that now that you have some hindsight into those earlier days, especially the in Jamaica. I just feel like you're just a wonderfully resilient person, and I'd like to, if you're comfortable with it, to talk about that a little bit, like how you helped yourself stay strong and move on. I think that would be a good message for some people to listen to.
I got the truth is simple. You have absolutely no choice. You either collect yourself together and move on and decide that I'm going to do the best I can in this predicament, or you end up being miserable. And if you are miserable, no one wants to be around you. I saw this at university. I met a girl there once. She had just something, I can't remember what. She became disabled anyways, and she was bitter. Nobody wanted to be near her. I
Right.
understand why she was bitter, but the only old saying, well, how is it? Smile, miserable and you're alone. Smile and everybody smiles with you, but frown and you frown alone. And that's, I learned that young.
Yeah, did you learn that from your parents or your mom or extended family? I mean, it sounds to me like you did have early on, you had the people there to give you direction in your formative years. Was that true?
Would have been, yeah, mom. When I was going to grade 1 and 2, I used to get teased a lot. And she said, that's where she, the one thing is, she said, they're teasing you. Don't get angry. Laugh at them. Join in it.
Hmm.
And then they no longer want to tease you. I guess basically it was the family. You've got to get along. Like, if you can't change it, you've got to accept it and live within it.
When did you learn that?
Yeah.
When did you learn that? When do you think you finally, the light bulb finally clicked on above your head?
It never did. There was never a click. It was something that you just slowly, by osmosis, took in and modified your life according to it. There's no, what do you call it, light bulb moment. Yeah.
So you talked, we talked a little about your mom, who you call your mom, which I think is just sweet. I love
Yep.
it.
Yeah.
And then and now let's talk about your sister, because you said the three women are your mom, your sister, and Jillian. I
Yeah.
want to save Jillian for last.
Well,
So what about your sister? Talk a little about your
well.
relationship and your history with her, and wherever your mind
In
wants
the
to go,
younger
let it go.
days, it
Yeah, the
changed.
younger days.
It changed over the years. In the younger days, she resented me because, and I resent her, there were quarrels and stuff. And it's because I got all mom's attention. Mom would spend, like, I was in the hospital numerous times for extended periods. And mom would be down
Yes.
there. So
Right.
Anne ended up being at aunts and uncles' places.
Do
And,
you think she resented that?
oh yeah, she did.
And how
She
did she
did.
express that? Do you, I mean, you write a
Later.
little bit about it, but you didn't,
There was anger and resentment, but, I guess later, what was it? It'd be late 70s when I was at university, and she came down there to do, what was it? She was doing a hairdressing course, and she stayed at my place for a while. And that's where it started to change.
Oh,
And
wow.
then
Yeah.
later in life, later, because she resented mom too. So she basically, before mom died, she came to, how would you put it, grips with mom, as in made her peace. And
Yes.
after that, too, it was, we made our peace. Like she accepted. I didn't really do it out of my way. It was just circumstances beyond our control.
Sometimes that's
All the
the most
death.
difficult, most difficult thing to come to terms with is things you are out of your control. So I commend both of you on being able to do that. How is your relationship?
Today,
Yeah.
great.
Oh, yay.
I depend on her for help. Like,
Nah.
hey, Jillian is not a computer person, but Anne has more because she had to do it in her business and her job. I
Sure,
depend on
sure.
her for some computer stuff.
All right. Yeah. It's almost as good as having a doctor in the house, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Or a mechanic.
Yeah, mechanic, right. Yeah, for sure. So did you always write, John? Like, or did you read
No.
first? I know you had mentioned that that you always had a book reader and you wanted to make sure your book player was always charged up and things like that. So I'm guessing you're an avid reader and then you became a writer. Is that kind of how it worked?
Well, I wrote massive amounts at university, but it's a completely different writing. I'm writing
Yes.
philosophy papers
Right.
and political science. So, it's a completely different. So what I wrote, but what I had to do with Bo was learn to write stories, to write fiction or even nonfiction, but to write non-essays. And
Yeah.
that's what Bo helped me.
I know you gave a wonderful tribute to Behind Our Eyes in your book. And I was very touched by reading that. That was wonderful that you did that. Yeah.
I cannot remember, truth. I got to do it now. I got to say it now. Winslow Parker
Right.
was interesting. He probably read my, he read
Yeah.
every chapter two or three times. At the
Yeah, when's
start, I cannot remember her name. Linda was the first name. She did an
Oh,
editing course. And
yes.
she was the one, I went to her. She edited one or two pieces, and she was the one that taught me about passive voice.
What about passive voice? What did she teach you?
It's not, you don't want passive voices in your sentences. And but she mentioned that, so I did the research and stuff, and I saw what it was. I didn't understand right then what it exactly was. I understood it now, and I can see it. It changes the story. It's not passive anymore. You're upfront about it.
Yes. It moves things along. It gives action to everything that's happening. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful that you found that support and that help.
And then they also turned me on to what is it? Leonora and David
The
doing
Dvorkins,
the
yes.
publishing. Yeah, because it's impo I couldn't have edited my story. I needed her to edit it. And I needed him. I couldn't do the formatting.
Yes. Yes.
And to put it on, yeah. So I
I
needed them
know.
for that. And
Yes.
that's what made bowl indispensable. Those three things.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think there's quite a few of us listening here tonight that would agree with that for sure.
Fun.
We can't do these things by ourselves to redo the writing, but everything else other than, writing the manuscript, we usually need assistance and help with
And
to make the
to
creative thing, come alive. So,
learn.
yes.
Nobody knows everything.
That's for sure. So, I'm very curious about one thing about university. Could you talk a little bit about how you got there and what that may not have been in the book that you can recall about university?
I was going to go to university in Greece. Well, Mom, it was simple. Mom really told me, you're not going to make a living with your back. You're going to make a living with your brain. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to university. This was from grade school.
Oh, really?
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, like, even then, like, see, I had massive amounts of time with my operations. Laying down in bed and stuff. And that's
Right.
when Mom made sure that I had stacks of stories, like The Lone Ranger, The Hardy Boys, all these kids' books, stacks of books when I could still see. And we had a set of encyclopedia.
Right.
Well, like it was, that's what I say, Mom, like. Mom groomed me for education.
Smart woman.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to work at a factory. Oh.
How long were you in university?
Four, six, 7 years.
Okay.
I did the BA,
Right.
some honors BA, some masters, and then I was a third of the way through the PhD program. And I just couldn't see anymore. Like the sight-seeing was slowly deteriorating. But we were marking tests, you say it in the paper, and I
Right.
could no longer see pencils or even pen marks on paper. I couldn't do it. It just broke me.
So you
Was
struggled through
really
what
hard.
the you struggled through what the last year or the 2 years before you left or
It would have the well, the whole thing, I guess, it's down to the point where it had to be dark writing, and I had to
right.
really stare. I was doing everything I could because there wasn't a lot of help here.
Right.
Right, so you just pushed it. I was just hoping that I could keep going. The whole thing was I just hoped I could keep going. I'm not really going to go blind.
You're not
It
the only
did.
one. Yeah, you're not the only one that has been in that situation to a similar
Right?
degree.
Yeah.
I remember that as well. I think back now and I think, well, I'm glad I had the vision I had back then to get through my master's program because if I had the vision I had now, I don't know if I would have done it. It was hard, like you said, like every single day, every single class, every single assignment, there was the, that am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to finish
Right.
this? Yeah.
I'm telling you,
Yeah. That's Yeah.
if I had the health that I did back then, today, I could do it. Because everything the computer provides it.
Yes.
See, back
Yeah.
then, my whole program was made on writing and reading. Philosophy is all writing and reading. I couldn't read or couldn't write.
Why'd you choose philosophy? Why not something else?
It was political science at the start, Political science and
Ah,
philosophy,
okay.
both of them. And when I finally got to the nitty gritty, everything is philosophy. When you get to the bottom of mathematics, philosophy of mathematics, philosophy of science, philosophy of literature, it's all philosophy.
Did you
And
take
that's what
part
I
in
love to.
did you take part in debates and things like that? Oh, wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
No, it really made you think. Like, to me, mathematics and engineering and accounting with manipulating numbers and stuff, you really didn't have to think. You didn't have to come up with something new,
Right.
a new way of looking at something.
So, once you left school, what propelled you into your next stage of your life? Like, were there any
Depression.
you
It was,
mentioned that.
I'll tell you what, there was just the next one. Two things, depression and wanting to make money. I sick and tired of well, the government wasn't giving me anything anymore because I got out of that.
Right.
What was I getting? I was getting. I was working, I was a teaching assistant in that. But after that, there was no possible way that I could work. I looked for jobs and stuff. First, you couldn't get to the job because you're in a wheelchair. You couldn't use a white cane, couldn't use any of that stuff. And then you're blind. It was a double whammy. If I'd have just had one or the other, I could have got out. With both, you just couldn't do it. You didn't have any mobility. So that's when that depression, and I thought, well, I can do this smuggling oil from Jamaica to Canada. And this is something. I've talked over with school friends and stuff. The school I went to, Auckland District Secondary School, it just seemed like this rural country school in the middle of nowhere had people that went to Jamaica, smuggled drugs. They went to Thailand, ended up there. They went to Holland. They went all over. There was something about it. I couldn't understand it. And this was just the same. I mean, the 1,200 students, the town had 8,000 people. It was in the middle of nowhere. But the university, like, I don't know, the college or the high school had connections all over.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing that. And I was looking for something. Like I said, I was looking for something. You said it. And I almost gave up with Baby Lou and that. If I wouldn't have met Jillian on that trip, that was my last time to Jamaica. I've become a firm believer that God has a plan. And no matter how crazy we think it is, it's a plan. He wanted us. He wanted me to keep going down to Jamaica, bringing back that drugs until I met Jillian. And as soon as I met Jillian and we got married, he arranged for me to get busted so I didn't do it anymore. Well, that's a plan.
John, I thought that was a very interesting curve to your story that you didn't get caught until after you had somebody to support you and help you with all of that. I thought that
That's why,
was
like I
serendipitous.
say, if people are believing that God has a plan, to me, it fit.
Do you consider yourself a religious person or a spiritual person?
I believe in God. I believe I'm a spiritual person. There's certain, basically Christian, but there's some Christian things I do not accept. But that's neither here nor there.
Right.
I
So
don't
you're
believe in
spiritual,
hell.
right? Oh, okay. So you believe in.
I believe in a loving God that
Yes.
would never deny us acceptance. He may hold it for a while till we pay the fine, but he's never going to reject us.
Understood. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that. So after you went through that whole smuggling thing and everything, you got yourself straight. You and Jillian got married. She came back to Canada with you, but that was protracted as well, right? Didn't it take her a while to get her papers to come
Yeah.
back?
Took 2 years.
Took 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when she came back, we were here even about a year. And then we learned, how do you put it? Two women in the same house do not fit or do not go good. Mom and Jillian, both of them, whose house is it? Mom's house or Jillian's house?
Right. So what did you
Ma'am,
do?
I told her, I said, listen, Mom, we're going to have to either leave or you, because Jillian can't put up with it. And I said, remember yourself when you were just married to Daddy, you were living at Grandma's house. You didn't like it there too good because Grandma had you under her thumb. So, within about 6, 8 months, they got a long-term or senior's apartment. And
Okay.
Mom had wanted to go there anyways. Mom really wanted to go because the house was a lot of work for her. And Frank was a lot of work. They were
Right.
both old. Yeah. So,
Okay.
in a way, this was an excuse for Mom to say, "You got to move."
Yeah, I gave her a graceful way to leave, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And did things get better after that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it was now Jillian's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
don't know if you were ever, you were married. I don't know if you ever lived with your mother-in-law, but
Oh no, and I don't know if I would have. Yeah.
especially with sons, mothers and sons.
I had kids too, so there was always managing how much time to spend with the kids, how much to indulge the kids, how much over was older overindulging and that kind of stuff. So I feel blessed about having to decide about overindulgement instead of the other way around. She's always around, and it was really cool, but sometimes it got to be a little bit much. But we
Right.
worked it out. We worked it out, right? You work it out. You try to communicate, you do the best you can.
One said, Jerry and I are still together. In November 13th, it'll be 32 years. So you've got to, if you're together that long, you've learned to work things out. Right. Yeah, you don't stay together that long. Hello? Oh, hello?
We're here. I can
Oh,
hear
okay.
you.
We're here, Johnny. I don't know
Okay.
what happened to
I
Annie.
hear you. Annie?
Pardon?
I
We
think we lost Annie.
lost I
This
think
is
Annie
Alice.
got
I have a
lost. Yeah.
question, so maybe we can just
Okay.
start asking questions from the audience. John,
Okay.
congratulations on your book. And all your other writings as well. You're such a prolific writer. Can you tell us a little bit about your daily writing routine and how long you've been at such a writing routine for all that you share with us on the Writer's Party line? And my other question was, can you tell us about the cover of your book?
Well, the cover? The cover is, when Jillian finally came to Canada, we had a wedding reception, and that's the picture from it. What my writing thing? I started on the computer about 10 in the morning, and I do the news, weather, all that stuff, diary and that. Then I might start writing. But I won't write for more than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I might write 500 words. And when I finally finish the story, like when I write a story, I write it one sentence, one line, and every other line, and I keep going every other line so I can fit things in if I want. And then finally, when I'm all done with that copy, that's when I start putting things together and running the spell checker and everything through it.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, John. It's Annie. I got dropped off, but I'm back.
Yep.
We just went on without you.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. More questions.
I have one last thing.
Go ahead, Carol.
This is Carol. Hi, John. It's so good to hear you. I've read you so much, and I write back to you. And you know what? You sound like a farmer, but an educated one.
thank you.
My question is a little bit about how the serendipity, how you and Julia not only met, but continued to live together and enjoy each other. It seems like you came from opposite areas of the world and opposite ideas. And I know you said it was hard with the mother-in-law, but with Julia, did it grow easily, or did you go up and down in your life?
Wait, how did I meet Jillian you're talking about?
You said like Julian. Jillian.
Oh, I said the wrong.
Julie's mom. Yeah. Jillian's Jillian. Yeah. Okay, well, how, Jillian. Anyway, I was down there. I was staying at Baby Lou's house, and then Jillian came and stayed at Baby Lou. It wasn't unknown for people to move around down into they stay at somebody's house for a week or two. So she came down because they knew each other, and that's where I met her. And what was with her was special. She accepted me for what I was. She didn't want money for sex. She didn't want anything. She just accepted me, and we were friends for the 2 weeks. And then we had sex. I joined us together especially. And then I started chasing her. Get the taxi up to her place. It reminded me of these romance stories you read about, where the guy chases the woman all over the place, the meat and things like this. And so we finally got together, and I married because how do I put it? It was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And then and coming back.
Mrs. Clem from Canada, I have to go. Yep. I have another meeting I have to lead, but congratulations, John. And
thank you.
I just, before I leave, I just wanted to say it warms my heart when I think about you and Jillian having such a nice relationship. And how do you stay so exuberant? And I'll leave in about 2 minutes. How do you get so much exuberance out of life? Thanks.
How do I which?
Be exuberant.
How do I what?
Exuberance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because life is great. The alternative is misery.
Hi, John. This is Deborah Thompson. Yep. I read your stories and the things that you write as well. And I always, generally speaking, respond. And with some of the ideas, I think I told you about, I thought you should put one of your stories in Spookfest that's coming up, I think. But where do you get a lot of your stories? I know the stories about the lake, the monster in the lake. That I read the three chapters or the three stories about. Oh. Where do you get a lot of these ideas from? Are they stories that have been told to you and you remember them, or do you read about things? How do you get your stories?
Give you an idea. When our family gets together, whatever time of the year it was, what we do is we'd eat meal, meet a meal, chat, but the whole thing was about telling stories. It might be gossip, stuff about the past, stuff about the future, but it was a lot of old-time stories. You sat around and told stories. Okay, it reminded me of Jamaica, where stories were what kept the community alive. And that's what we did. It was a lot of stories. My best stuff I found writing has been about the area. I don't know, but yeah, the personal stories and stuff in the area, I think make for the easiest writing. And Jamaica gives me a lot of stuff too.
Can I ask a question? This is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha, sure.
Hi, thank you. First of all, congratulations, John. And,
thank you.
And I was wondering, was it easy or hard to get your book published?
It wasn't hard at all. Leonard and David did everything. I just turned it over to them, and you know, I okayed the editor changes, and David did all the formatting and putting it on Amazon and everything. I couldn't have done that part. Truthfully, I needed them to do it. I needed the editor. And I guess, and I'm happy to say, it cost me about, by the time everything was done, it cost me about $1,280 Canadian. But if I sell two more books or three more books, I'll have made everything back.
Wonderful.
I've sold, I got 85, 85 paperbacks sold. I sold them personally. I've got five more people that want some. And I've sold $50 worth online.
All right, John. That's wonderful.
And everybody that comes into the house, they get asked, you want a book? Every family reunion, I was at a wake. Every time I go out, do you want to buy a book?
Wonderful.
Yes.
That's a great marketing thing. Yeah. Don't leave my house. You got to buy a book. I won't let you leave.
Hey, John, it's Dawn.
Yeah. Dawn. Hi, Dawn.
How are you?
Good.
I wondered, how does Jillian feel about you writing about your romance and your marriage.
She wasn't sure about that one. I wasn't sure. She didn't know she wanted everybody hearing about that. And I said, well, that's what one thing what Leonard said about my book was that I didn't hide it. I put everything out there. Right. And she thought that that was part of what made the book good. And that's what I told Jillian. I said, well, it doesn't matter, Jillian. Nobody's even going to know you.
Right. In the end, was she happy with the result?
Yeah, she was.
Still cooking you cutty goat?
Yeah.
She's still cooking you cutty goat.
Yeah. She still talks to me.
Yeah.
She still talks to you. Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. You know, John, this is Annie. I think that your descriptions of you and Jillian's getting together and all that good stuff was tastefully done. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. Yep. It was just right. So I just wanted to let you know that I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, it was done so well. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I had to put a bit about sex in there because it's something that unites people if it's done in love.
Yes. Yes. There's a little bit of background noise going on. Not sure who's sliding around, but okay, that's better. All right. Anybody else?
I'm interested. This is Lisa. And I'm interested in your relationship with God. And when did that happen and how did it happen?
Just by osmosis. I went to a Catholic school, went to a Catholic church. I had nothing to do with anybody that wasn't a Catholic until I was like 15. So you reject things for a while, but you never. Something that you've done for 15 years, you just don't forget it. The nuns and priests did a good job. So what happened is you accept, but maybe not everything. Like I said, I don't believe in hell. I believe in God, Jesus, but not in hell and damnation. You can't not ignore your upbringing. I got a brother and sister that same upbringing, and they say they don't believe, but when push comes to shove, they believe in miracles. They believe. You don't take it out. You don't take the Catholic out of the boy. You may take him out of the church, but you never get rid of it completely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what you saw. That was the Canadian racism. It wasn't black and white. Canadian racism was Protestant and Catholic.
Right.
Except for the First Nations. First Nations, everybody punished them. But here it was Protestants and Catholics. Mm. Mm.
John, this is Carol. I'd like to know, do you have a project in the works that you could tell us about? Over.
What was it? Tell about what?
Do you have another writing project that you have in the works?
Oh,
thank you.
No,
You're welcome.
No, just writing short story, short stuff now. Like I say, the one on growing up today, on growing up today, and on being old, and on growing old today, and on growing up today.
Well, I don't know, John. You write enough of these short stories. You could put a little collection together.
Yeah.
Right?
My flash fiction.
Yeah.
I like writing it. It's short with a twist at the end.
Yes. Is that what you like to read as well? As a reader, do you like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like a twist at the end. I don't like predictability.
Yes. Can you name any authors that you like reading a lot? Or?
I can't say.
I'm like you. I can never really like remember. I'm like, yeah, I read a lot of good books, but don't ask me who they are.
Give me a
what
title.
What about David Gamel? Jamel, however you say his name, the guy you turned me on to.
Oh, yep. Good author. The thing is, what I do is this. I get them. I get an author, and I'll go through like 10 books, and then he's gone. If I like somebody, I just read all their books. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Right.
I read, and half of the stuff I read is nonfiction. And I just got through reading a long one, 24-hour book on the CIA, and another one on the FBI.
Oh. Do you like crime fiction and that kind of stuff?
True fiction, true crime.
True crime, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like romance books?
Not really, no. Not a big romance book. I see a few writers though in the group.
Yeah. Yeah, some science fiction writers, some romance writers, some nonfiction like writers. Yeah, a whole bunch of us, all different stuff, which is nice. Yep. You know, we need you know to keep it flowing, not all the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, John, do you have any last words for us? It's 10 till, and we want to give you some time for closing remarks. And I can let people know how to get your book. Because I have the DLD book website remembered in my head forever. So when you're done, I'll say it. So you don't have to remember it.
Okay. I don't have any remarks, but okay.
John,
a long time ago, people told me, you know, because when I had the polio and in the 20s and that, people kept telling me to write a book. I am an inspiration. You know, hard times hit us. And I look to you, I see you, and, you know, bad things have happened. But you still struggle on, no problem. And when I went blind, so they did that. And I was in Jamaica, no internet, so I started writing a book. And then I had to come back here and get the timelines and everything, went back again, finished a book or story, 160,000 words, and then I said, this is too long, so I got to turn this into a shorter story. And Bo taught me how to do it. And I'm sorry, I got to go right now. I need my BPAP. My breathing's not good now.
Okay, John.
I've been talking too much.
Yeah. All right. I'll finish it up for you. Be well, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So you can get John's book. You can go to DLD Books. That's www.dlbooks.com/John Cronin/. That's how you can get to all the links that sell all his books. So, Lisa, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, actually, I want to know if there's anyone here that's not from BOE, because there's no use in me telling everyone about, about BOE if everyone
already knows.
Yeah.
That's true.
To me.
That's totally true.
Yeah, no, there's no one else here that doesn't.
One last word. Thank you, everyone, for coming to my book launch.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Congratulations, John. It was a good book launch.
You did great, Johnny. Cool.
Thank you.
Great job.
Wonderful.
It's wonderful to hear your voice, and thank you.
Yes. Okay, everyone. I hope you have a good night.
All right, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Left the meeting.